And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. My name is Greg Mangarelli, mayor of the city of Prescott, and your host for today. We have a very informative show for you today. We'll get an update on COVID-19 in Yavapai County. Then we'll talk about city public works projects going on around town. My guests are Leslie Horton, director for Yavapai County Community Health Services, and Craig Dotseth, director of public works for the city of Prescott. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
During tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hi, I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. You gotta admit, Ted, we get pretty popular in the summer.
I know, Adam. We get service calls from all over the Prescott area.
And we also get quite a few from Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and Sedona.
How do you know that?
A little Verdi told me.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Keep your cool with a quick call to Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, serving all of Yavapai County. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's High Desert Mechanical Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
Good news from Roxanne at Prescott Brewing Company. If you've been missing any of your faves from Prescott Brewing Company, we now have 11 beers on tap for growler fills. Wednesdays through Fridays, 11 to 3 p.m., you can get them filled up right from our taps. Come through the clearly marked atrium gate, stay socially distant, step up to the bar when it's your turn, get your clean growler filled, pay your tab, tip your tap tender, and walk away with that potion you love through the exit atrium gate. Wednesdays through Fridays for now, 11 to 3, from Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. And our first guest here is Leslie Horton with the Yavapai Community Health Services. Leslie, thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
So Leslie and I have been hanging out a lot here in the last couple of months and just trying to get good information out to our listeners. And so Leslie, maybe just start with an update on what's going on here in Yavapai County.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And today in Yavapai County, we have 272 cases of COVID-19. And of those, though, we have had 38 that have been deemed recovered. We are each week adding more to the list. So we will have I think probably by tomorrow or the next day, we'll have a whole bunch more who are deemed recovered, who came down with COVID-19 kind of early in the pandemic and were diagnosed and have now recovered. We have had 6 people that have passed away from COVID. And so, you know, going forward, one of the things that's a top priority for me is really to continue to protect those really vulnerable individuals who are otherwise at risk for complications or death by COVID, because those, you know, I hate to see those numbers of deaths go up, and we've kept it rather low in our county so far, but you know, I want to make sure that we're protecting those who need protection. I do have a breakdown finally of, and it's not totally complete because some of the staff members at Mingus Mountain Academy are still getting tested. However, from what we have so far, we do see that out of our 272 cases in Yavapai, 113 of those can be attributed to Mingus Mountain staff or students. And so 86 of those were students. And so of all of those cases, for the most part, they have been primarily either asymptomatic or very light symptoms. They're primarily younger. And so, you know, of all the places that could have had an outbreak, it wasn't a worst case scenario. And yet it has had some detrimental effects to families and others who have, we have seen a little bit of household and community spread based on that outbreak. So that's my update for today for the most part.
Yeah, great. So I have a couple questions, you know, based off your update there. One, with Mingus Mountain Academy, and if people aren't familiar, this is a girls' school. Maybe give us a little bit of background on what Mingus Mountain Academy is, and then what have you guys learned as a result? You know, we didn't know a lot about this virus and how it would act. What have you learned as you've watched Mingus Mountain Academy?
Yeah, we've had a couple of good examples now in Yavapai County of what works and maybe what could have used some work early on. And Mingus Mountain is a school. It's a locked school for girls. They don't leave the campus for the most part. They're high-risk girls, and they live there for the most part. And so it's in that circumstance, we have learned some things in that, you know, the quicker you can get everyone tested, the better. We did it in rounds out there. We thought that it was isolated to a certain group of the girls, and then found out that maybe that wasn't the case necessarily. And so we had tested 60 originally. Of those, 42 were positive. And then we went on to testing all of the girls and found out that there was an additional 42 amongst those, or 44. So we, you know, there has been some lessons. A good example of how to jump on something like this quickly and mitigate spread was at the jail, where we had a circumstance where someone came on to the jail campus in our Camp Verde jail and had COVID-19. They tested after their visit to the jail because they had symptoms. We were able to get all of the sheriff's department staff that had possibly had exposure, a couple hundred of them that work over there, got them tested immediately within hours of finding out. And we were able to limit the spread there to only 6 additional individuals. We're starting to see that quick action, that quick ability to remove people who are positive and get them out of the way so that they can quarantine, get better, helps to save everyone else from having to experience this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's nice that most of the girls there were asymptomatic or very light symptoms and not any real dramatic effects. It is a way to kind of learn how this virus works. You know, there's a lot of numbers to track, and I know people for the longest time have been just watching our total numbers go up, Leslie. And, you know, we're a county of 235,000 people, and we have 272 positive cases. I think it's important to kind of have that perspective in relationship to our total county population. But the other number that I think is always a really good number for all of us to be watchful of, and that is the percent positive positive from tests. So can you talk a little bit about what that looks like for us in terms of a percent positive from a lot of the testing? You've had a lot of extra testing going on with the blitz testing over the weekends. I know there's more of that to come, but can you talk about just what it looks like in terms of what direction we're headed with that percent positive?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And so far in our county, we've had 8,596 people tested. So that's a great, I look at that as a great number as a basis. It's not everybody, obviously, but we have tested pretty much everyone who presents with symptoms or anyone who thought they could have it based on contact. And now that we've had the blitz testing, we've had 2,198 people tested so far over 3 weekends of free blitz testing. And so in the cases, let's say like blitz testing, for instance, where anyone can get tested, they just have to show up and don't need any prerequisites, they see about a 1% to 2% positive test rate amongst those. So out of every 100, we're seeing one or two test positive. And in a lot of these cases, still, those were associated back to families or households or staff of Mingus Mountain School. In general, with all of our testing, whereas the hospitals have truly been testing and focused on daily testing of people who present either with symptoms, hospitalization, or known contact with someone who is COVID positive, we are still seeing only about a 3.4% positive test rate, including all those Mingus focused tests that we were doing there. So our rate of spread is very low, which is great. That's good news in our county because across the state, there's about a 6.9% positive test rate.
Yeah, that's a good perspective statewide, Leslie. You know, I think for us, I saw it somewhere around 5% or something early on was kind of a high water mark for us. But even with all of these positives at Mingus Mountain Academy, to be less than 3.5% is a good number. I encourage people to look at that percent positive rather than just look at how many new positive cases we have every day. You know, because the virus is here. It's going to be here much like the flu has been here for decades. The virus is here to stay, and we really have to learn better how to conduct ourselves in terms of hygiene and some distancing and some other practices and learn how to live around it because it's going to be here. It's not going to totally go away. I want to talk a little bit about hospitals and our assisted living and those nursing home facilities. You know, early on, Leslie, you and I were talking, I think right after spring break back in March, it was on a Sunday, and we were trying to figure out what COVID-19 was going to look like for our community. And I can remember early on, you were saying, you know, we really need to focus on hospitals and those vulnerable populations. And we've done that, I believe, successfully. But can you give us an update, particularly with the hospitals? We didn't want to see them overwhelmed. What are we seeing at the hospitals?
Yeah, locally, our hospitals have had, I mean, they did a great job early on when we knew that we needed to make some space and make the ability to prioritize COVID-19 patients. The hospitals, both YRMC and VVMC, really cleared their space. They obviously stopped elective surgeries and other things to make sure that they could prioritize COVID patients, and yet they saw very few. And so even at YRMC, I think at the peak of what they saw, they had 10 patients there, but it's really continued to drop. Our hospitalization rate, which is one of those ones that we watch to see how we're doing, how well we're protecting our most vulnerable, that's been very, very low. And so our hospitals are getting back to elective surgeries and things. And with our nursing homes, like you said, that we've known from the get-go on this that they're a priority. We need to protect them. We need to do everything we can to devote resources to protecting them because a spread in a nursing home would be catastrophic, as we've seen in other areas. And yet, we've done a great job here. We've so far had one case that affected a nursing home. We were able to, as soon as symptoms showed up, they got tested, they were able to quarantine, and we didn't have any spread based on that scenario. And now the state has devoted to all skilled nursing facilities across the state 2 weeks' worth of PPE, as well as they've contracted with Sonora Quest to do testing of all patients and staff within those skilled nursing facilities. And we have seven of them here that will get those free services.
Yeah, that's great. Great work on your part and your team there at Yavapai County Health to protect those elderly, more vulnerable populations. I'm so grateful that we never saw any kind of outbreak in those facilities, because we have a lot of people in our city that take advantage of those much-needed care facilities. So, Leslie, I kind of look into the fall a little bit, and I actually had a meeting with the governor yesterday where he talked about a second wave, and I've talked to some of my friends and they get concerned, like, oh my gosh, what is that going to look like? We've seen this historically with other illnesses like the Spanish flu and a few others where it does come back after it dips down for a while. What are your thoughts in terms of a second wave? Would you anticipate our state leadership and Yavapai County Health, do you think that we might return to some of these kinds of strict restrictions, or what do you envision happening this fall if there is a second wave?
Well, I do hope that we do not see a second wave, although it's really hard to say at this point. As we reopen things, and especially if schools go back into session and things, there's a possibility, since COVID is still here, we don't have a cure, we don't have a vaccine yet, that we could see that wave. And I think on the second round, what we've learned, both based on looking at the economic ramifications of shutting things down and the social ramifications and the difficulties that we've seen, yes, it can reduce numbers of cases, but truly, I think we need to place our focus on those most vulnerable. I think that we could look at this in a different way and continue to keep businesses running, continue to keep schools running and everything else, but place an emphasis on protection and somewhat isolation of our most vulnerable, making sure that we know who's at risk, and we do know who's at risk at this point, and really do our best to, as a community, wrap care and protection around those folks, but then still be able to carry on business, school, and our economy as well.
Yeah, that's my hope as well, Leslie. I don't want to see a second wave. I want us to be prepared if there is a second wave, but I'm hopeful that we know so much more about this virus that we can be more strategic in our initiatives and not have to shut the economy down like we did this first time around. Well, just about a minute or so left here before we go to a break. Antibody testing, very different than the rapid testing, the blitz testing we've been doing over the weekends. What are you seeing with antibody testing here in our county? I know there's been a little bit of that going on. Do you see more of that coming to our county?
Yeah, I have seen more providers able to do antibody testing. I know of a handful of them already. The hospitals are practicing with it and trying it out on their staff first, and then they'll probably make it a community offering. Spectrum Healthcare and other providers here locally have been rolling out antibody testing, trying it out on populations like first responders, healthcare providers, and others, and seeing what our positive test rate is. And amongst all those kind of populations that do have a lot of interaction with public or people who could have COVID-19, they're still only seeing about a 1% return on antibody tests, which means that our level of antibodies here locally is pretty low. But there's a lot of people who thought they had something back in January or February before we had testing, and they'd like to know if that's what they had. I think it's a good way to gauge the immunity level in our community. And yet there's no guarantees that just because you have antibodies, you may not also get this again.
Yeah, I was actually kind of, oddly enough, hoping that those antibody tests would return a little higher rate than we're seeing, just because it would give us more herd immunity and kind of help with any future wave that might come this fall. Well, we're talking to Leslie Horton with Yavapai County Community Health Services. When we come back, Leslie, I'd like to talk about businesses reopening, what the county's doing to help them open safely, and just how that's going here locally in our communities. We'll be right back after these messages.
want to stay nice and cool all summer long, get Gettles High Desert Mechanical Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for all your air conditioning and plumbing needs. Serving Central and Northern Arizona with fast, reliable service. The guys and gals at Gettles get it. Make sure your AC is ready for the summer heat with a visit from one of Gettles' knowledgeable technicians. Offering air conditioning and plumbing repair service. Call Gettles at 772-2751 or go online to GettlesHDM.com.
Mom, look at the heart I drew.
Oh, it's so pretty, and I love the message.
We are one.
Hey, let's tape it to the window.
Okay.
With the outbreak of COVID-19, we're staying home more and seeing less of friends, neighbors, and coworkers. But COVID-19 cannot break the bond that connects us in the Quad Cities. That shines through in the messages of hope taped to the windows of our homes, the donations to support those who have suffered loss, the hard work that keeps our grocery store shelves stocked, and the smiles beneath the masks of restaurant staff delivering curbside orders. To our community during this difficult time, thank you from Yavapai Regional Medical Center. We are one. And we are inspired by you.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rupographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rupographics today.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. I am the mayor, Greg Mangarelli. We're talking to Leslie Horton, director for Yavapai Community Health Services. So, Leslie, recently, I guess about a week or so ago, the governor opened up retail stores, salons, barbershops, restaurants with dine-in. On May 11th. And so pools and gyms are also allowed to open. What are you seeing out there, and what kind of help are you offering to these businesses that are opening?
We get numerous calls every day from different businesses, and a lot of business owners checking in with me to see what they can do. A lot of them have done their research. I mean, I'm really impressed with our local business owners and organizational leaders. They've really looked into what they need to do to be effective in creating an environment that allows physical distancing, sanitization, hand washing, making sure that people feel safe in that environment. And they've done a great job. We do coach them through any questions that they might have, whether they call myself or our phone bank that's open. They can call 442-5103. And then we do have on our website also resources for retailers, resources for any reopenings of gyms, pools, camps, whatever it might be. We have resources for just about everybody at this point where they can go peruse through, make sure that they're aligning with CDC guidance. A lot of the chambers have come together to make a campaign called Yavapai Safe. And we're going to be making some stickers and different things that people can put on their front windows so that they are pretty much letting the public know that they're doing what they can to follow those recommendations by the CDC and our local health department.
You know, on Monday, I went out on the first day that restaurants could have dine-in. And I was so encouraged as I took tours of many restaurants that day. And even this is true of retail as well, Leslie. I felt like the business owners were very conscientious. They really want to do the right thing. They're trying to learn as much as they can from your office and the CDC. And I guess I was just very encouraged with the due diligence that they've done and the efforts they've put out. You know, they were sidelined for several weeks, And I know they're anxious to get open, but as much as they want to be open to the public and to start financially becoming more stable, I think more than that, they just really want to be safe, and they want to have a healthy environment where the public feels safe in their place of business. So that was across the board.
Yeah, I've seen great success with a lot of them. I've stopped into some, and just, you know, especially as I talk to them on the phone, they really are putting in so much effort to make sure that the public knows that they're looking out for them, making sure that they provide spaces that are safe. And I think that in the long run, we're going to see great benefits to, you know, hopefully to mitigating the spread of COVID in our community by all this hard work that our businesses are putting in.
Yeah, the one area here, Leslie, you know, we have Whiskey Row and Prescott, and the governor has not given a full green light to bars to be open yet. There's some bar owners that have talked to me a few different times, and I know yourself as well, just about when they might be able to open. They see themselves similar to a restaurant in many ways. What are your thoughts in regard to bars, or what are you hearing from the state at this point? I know that there is a nuance with serving food, and some of these places that I'm familiar with, one in particular I'm thinking about is a wine bar that, you know, had been serving food before and appetizers and those kinds of things, and I think that was a little easier path forward for that particular business. But some of these businesses really didn't serve any food at all to speak of, so it kind of puts them in a tough spot. Do you have any thoughts in this regard and what the governor might be doing hopefully soon?
Yeah, this has been one of my great concerns, because we haven't heard directly from the governor. We've heard a lot of questions asked about bars, and all he's verbally said is that they're not in his plan yet to open now. However, he hasn't also announced when, and he continues, like today, he announced that we're still in phase one. Comfortably in phase one. And that's great. But a lot of people want to know, okay, well, when is phase two and what comes along with it? Is that when bars can open? I do get a lot of calls from bars that are trying to start serving food so that they can meet that kind of loophole there, that if a bar serves food, the Liquor Association had said that they pretty much fit the requirements then to open. And therefore, I've asked that they talk to our environmental health office and just check in with those inspectors to see what are the requirements, what are the foods that they could serve to meet that requirement, and also is it going to be safe for the public to consume, those kind of things. But, you know, I appreciate that our bars are being strategic. They are, you know, thinking out what it'll take to reopen carefully when they're allowed to. And we're there to support them and provide guidance however and whenever they decide to open their doors.
Yeah, so the governor was on today and had a press conference, you mentioned, and we're in phase one, squarely in phase one. He reiterated that today. Are bars allowed with the White House guidelines, are they allowed to open in phase two?
I'm pretty sure that they are outlined in phase two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Last time I read over them a few times, they're kind of vague, but
yeah.
That's my hope, is that maybe the governor, by early next week or something, we might see him move us into phase two, which I hope will allow those bars to safely open. I think some concern is with the size of some of those nightclubs, probably more in metro areas. As we know here, our bars are much smaller, and so we'll have to see what that guidance is from the governor coming down, we hope, very, very soon. Events are another area that's kind of in question. I know that you've been very helpful, Leslie, with some of the downtown events with the Prescott Chamber of Commerce as they look at what they might be able to do downtown, and it appears that the outdoor events are much safer. Is that your perspective as well?
Yeah, outdoor venues tend to be safer simply due to the fact that the air is not stagnant like an indoor environment. You often have the sun shining with UV that cuts down on viruses' ability to infect people in an outdoor venue. Also, like the breeze coming by, oftentimes in our area we have a breeze, and it does just help to blow those particulates away that could infect someone. And so I am very supportive in rolling out outdoor venues, especially over indoor venues, giving us the ability to convene in more of an open space. And so things like our fair on the squares and the off-street fairs and those kind of things that are coming up, I see those as retail, as very similar to farmers markets and other things that are allowed right now. And even when it comes down to the rodeo, we're trying to plan a rodeo coming up 4th of July weekend, and it's sounding like other counties are also thinking of rolling out rodeo events and other things that are outdoors and very low-risk events here for the near future.
Yeah, no, that's good news for us. Obviously, the rodeo is very important for our city here in Prescott, our 133rd annual rodeo and parade. And I know the folks there are working very hard on the rodeo committee to ensure that we can have a safe event. And, you know, we keep telling them, you and I both, that they're doing a great job and that, you know, at this point, we're very hopeful that that rodeo and parade will happen. Again, it's subject to where the governor has us at that point in late June. But if things continue to go the way they have been and the numbers continue to trend the way they have been, we're hopeful that we can have that rodeo and parade. So we'll see as we kind of move through the end of May here in early June. Leslie, lots of great information. Always good to have you on. Can you share with our listeners the places they can get more information? I know you have a great website, and then you've had a phone bank, and I guess I'm asking, you know, if you continue to have that line open to the public.
Yes, we have that line directed to some of my staff who are in the office now, and that number is 442-5103, area code 928. And then we have on our website, especially as you're looking to reopen businesses and need more information, our yavapai.us/CHS website has great resources and information and even it links people to the CDC guidance and other places where they can find even more information. So call us anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and go to our website 24/7. You'll find what you need, hopefully.
Yeah, the website has been a tremendous help, Leslie. Well, we just have a couple minutes left here. We haven't talked about face masks. You know, the hygiene is very important. Washing hands, that's kind of a no-brainer. We know now coughing into your elbow, trying to give as much space between people as we can. And I've heard of some controversy around face masks, and can you speak a little bit to those and then just how we want folks to respond with or without face masks out there?
Yeah, I actually created a Facebook video today on our website or our Facebook page about mask wearing because it's become an area of controversy, like you mentioned. A mask, if worn correctly, will block, say I'm wearing a mask, it'll block my germs from reaching you or anyone else around me. They're not as protective if someone else is sick and coughs on you while you have a mask on. You're still, you know, quite likely to get their virus if they're carrying COVID-19. If you cannot physically distance yourself, let's say in a grocery store or elsewhere, and you don't have that ability while you're around strangers to physically distance, a mask is better than nothing. And the one thing that I've noticed is that people have become a little unruly and a little upset. It seems that it creates some emotions in them when they see someone in a mask. And we've had some things that make me a little sad to hear when we've had people call in and to our office and say that, you know, here they have a lung condition, they have other vulnerabilities, and people are calling them names for wearing masks. And that, you know, to me is really, I do hope, it's really concerning, but I do hope that our community will remember that we need to be respectful of others. This is a difficult time, and people are going to choose to wear a mask or choose not to, and sometimes they're choosing to because they are seriously vulnerable to illness. And so we want to care for them, protect them, and respect people's choices.
Yeah, that's a good word. I appreciate that, Leslie, and something that I've been preaching around town as well as, you know, we don't know what that other person might be dealing with in terms of their health issues and how vulnerable they may or may not be. People are choosing to wear masks or not wear masks. And I think the bottom line, as you said, is we just need to respect one another during this time. Everyone's doing the best that they know how, whether you're a business owner or just a citizen here in Yavapai County. We need to give people a lot of grace right now and a lot of respect either way, whether you're wearing a mask or not. So I really appreciate you being on the show today, Leslie, and all the great information that you bring to us and your work here in the county. I know it's been a lot of work here in the last few months. I'm very aware of all that you and your staff are doing to help keep us safe here in Yavapai County, and I truly appreciate all that you do. It's satisfying to know that we work so hard together. There's some great collaboration that has happened, and we're in a really good spot at this point, and hopefully we will be in the future.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate our great leadership, especially yours and our other supervisors around the county. And we do have great collaboration, and it's showing to be, helping us as we move forward and has over the past few months. So thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Craig Dotseth, who's the Public Works Director here with the City of Prescott. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Good news from Roxanne at Prescott Brewing Company. If you've been missing any of your faves from Prescott Brewing Company, we now have 11 beers on tap for growler fills. Wednesdays through Fridays, 11 to 3 p.m., you can get them filled up right from our taps. Come through the clearly marked atrium gate, stay socially distant, step up to the bar when it's your turn, get your clean growler filled, pay your tab, tip your tap tender, and walk away with that potion you love through the exit atrium gate. Wednesdays through Fridays for now, 11 to 3, from Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
If you can't chew it, odds are your garbage disposal can't either. This is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. It's not uncommon to end up with something in your garbage disposal that was never meant to be there. We get it. So that's why right now, we're offering $25 off any garbage disposal replacement, whether it's eggshells or a pan of grease.
Uh-oh, I've done that.
It's $25 off. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today at 776-7025 or visit us online at ypeinc.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Breathe out and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Wednesday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. Yavapai County Community Health Services announces they're reopening their facilities for routine and travel vaccinations. They'll be limiting the number of patients in the waiting room by extending all appointment time frames and offering curbside service for most adult patients. All pediatric patients will require in-office treatment. Community Health Services is once again providing back-to-school vaccinations for all students, requiring them for the upcoming school year. They will not be able to provide walk-in services to maintain proper social distancing in the waiting rooms. However, they will schedule appointments. They recommend making appointments early as appointment times have been extended to mitigate the number of patients in the waiting room. For those immunizations, you can call 771-3122 2 in the Prescott area and 639-8130 for the Verde Valley. Sunny and much cooler today, chilling after bedtime to a clear 42, then warming toward a sunny, breezy weekend with a hot holiday and back to work with highs around 77 tomorrow through Saturday, up near 88 by Tuesday in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey Humboldt. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, cooling overnight to near 47, sunny highs Thursday of 85, Friday and Saturday a very breezy 87, up to 98 by Tuesday. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Wednesday evening and stay tuned. Talk of the Town Prescott will continue in a moment on KQ&A.
During tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no-problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Waters Garden companion plants in May are Viney Nikibia, Purple Robe Locust, Prescott Sunshine Geraniums, and Indian Hawthorn.
Wind is no problem for this Indian Hawthorn.
Rose-colored flowers cover this spring bloomer that often repeat blooms in fall.
Dark blue berries adorn this compact bush that takes the wind and soaks up the sun like a native.
Perfect for low-maintenance gardens with virtually no pruning, ever.
Every backyard should have at least one, and only found here at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. We're going to switch things up, and we've got Craig Dotseth here, who is the Public Works Director. Craig, thanks for coming in today.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Well, lots to talk about here, so I kind of want to jump right in. But before we do talk about projects that you've got going on, coronavirus, what effect did it have on what you guys are doing and your work out there in Public Works?
It's kind of affected us in different ways in different sections of or divisions of Public Works. Directly on the engineering and the Public Works office side, we have kind of had to change how we were providing our customer service. We've been providing customer service in the parking lot, at the curb, electronically. But we, you know, significantly or completely cut back on any meetings in the office in order to protect the public as well as staff to make sure that we're there to continue providing service.
Yeah, no, that's good. A lot of good innovation happening right now, Craig, which is really helpful, I think, to the public. We're seeing as we open our facilities up that we see much less traffic, foot traffic, in our actual physical facilities because they've taken advantage of the efficiency of the online options, which I think is great.
Yes, it's made a considerable difference.
Well, you have a lot of projects happening around town. How many projects do you have going right now, Craig?
There's currently 11 projects under construction throughout the city.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that a little bit from people. You know, either you're hearing that something needs to be fixed or you're fixing it, and they're upset about that. But that's okay. So give us some highlights of some of the 11 projects you've got going on. Some of them are more visible in the downtown Prescott area.
Yeah, definitely the most visible would probably be the Summit McCormick Beach and Goodwin project. So that has been a total reconstruction project, so it has had significant impact on the area. So all new water, sewer, storm drain system, pavement, curb and gutter, sidewalk, everything has been included in that project. And we had our wonderful winter moistures that impacted it as well and made it tough through some of the construction. So that's the most visible that's out there. Then close to downtown, Robinson Drive is finally nearing completion. We'll be in there this summer and be done with that one. So that will be a great thing for the neighborhood as well.
Yeah, that one downtown there around Charlotte Hall Museum and the Liquor Deli area down in that area is really going to be a great improvement there. I know that was a WPA. Much of that was a WPA project, and you were finding some interesting things when you were digging up the street there initially.
We did. And, yes, there was WPA stamps in the concrete on that project from 1938 and 1939. And then in Goodwin, we found a few ghosts. There ended up being cow bones in there. An old car was found buried within the street. So you never know when we get into the old town.
Yeah, that's great. So let's move out more towards the airport, Craig. You've got a lot going out there with the Corsair extension. Wilkinson, talk a little bit about what you got going on out there.
Yeah, Wilkinson is under construction this week. So that will improve Wilkinson from the Larry Caldwell interchange around the corner by Hanson Materials. And then it will connect into the new roundabout that's being built as part of the Corsair extension. So then that next project, Corsair, connects from Wilkinson to the east and connects into where Corsair has dead-ended for the last 20 years.
You know, Wilkinson, I'd heard about for several months, Craig, that, you know, it needed to be redone. And when I talked to you several months ago, you said, you know, we realize that we're going to get to it. We just want to do it when we mobilize and do Corsair, and we're going to kind of do all that at one time, which made a lot of sense to me when you told me that. Tell the listeners here a little bit, Craig, about the new technology and the process whereby you can use existing pavement, in this case Wilkinson Drive, to then reapply it to the new project.
Yes, kind of what we're all familiar with over the years is watching a project where they come in and you know, break up, scoop up, haul away all of the old asphalt and concrete as trash. It's ended up going to a landfill. We've changed on this project where we're taking all of the existing pavement, and it's called pulverizing. So all the existing will be pulverized. Then we're bringing in additional millings from other projects that we've got stockpiled. We'll bring in additional millings, add that to that base. So then all of that recycled material is creating the new base under the new asphalt.
Yeah, it's such a good way to reuse that old asphalt and you know, in a day and age when we're very concerned about recycling and efficiencies, I'm glad you guys are being able to use those materials right on site. Any other notable projects that we're missing here, Craig, that you guys are working on?
Definitely the biggest project that we've had undergoing or had under construction for the last year has been the airport trunk main. Mm-hmm. So that project ultimately is one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle when it comes to centralization. And that project is wrapping up. They're cleaning up, doing seating and such now. So that has created a new pipeline from the airport water reclamation facility all the way back to where Willow Creek crosses Highway 89, just north of the Dells. So that has been a very large project. That included 36-inch and 48-inch sewer pipe. So there was jokes as we were going through construction that we were going to have flume rides when it got done.
that's a large sewer line, Craig. Well, that's good to know that that is nearing completion. I know that you're going to shutter the old facility there near the Yavapai Humane Society and the old city dump. And then, not that you guys oversee it, but just so our listeners know, in terms of construction, I was excited to go to the airport and see the airport terminal construction, which is really coming along well. A lot of vertical steel happening and some masonry. So it's good to have all these projects, you know, that we had in the pipeline, so to speak, before COVID-19 hit. We expect probably a slowdown in the new fiscal year in terms of projects. Is that what you're seeing with the new budget?
In the 21 proposed budget, yes, we are including some projects that we're labeling as provisionary. So then it'll all depend on the revenue, how they, you know, rebound back. And if the revenue is there, then we will initiate the project. If not, we'll hold off a little longer. And we did reduce some funds as far as the amount of money that will be spent on, like, preservation.
Yeah, no, that's a good update. I know you're just kind of underway with the budget, and we had a budget workshop yesterday, so that's good information for the public. One other little minor thing that you guys have done recently in terms of improvements, but I think it's very important for pedestrian safety, is at Four Points there at Yavapai Regional Medical Center. Because of the new parking lot that's diagonally or catty corner from the hospital that they built there, a lot more pedestrian traffic at that Four Points intersection. Tell us a little bit about some of the improvements that you've worked on there.
Yeah, when it kind of became aware that we had, you know, some issues there with the additional pedestrian traffic, is definitely that intersection has been quiet with pedestrians since Miller Valley School closed. So we had a few mishaps in there. So then we got together with the hospital, and it's been a collaborative effort between the city and the hospital. All of the crosswalks have been updated, you know, repainted there. We added additional pedestrian words on the street to notify people, added additional signing, and then most significant on the corners right now that, you know, our traveling public will see will be the addition of little plastic bollards changing the radius of two of the corners. They were a real long radius before, and it would allow, you know, us as the traveling public to go around the corner much faster than what you can now. So this just helps, you know, slow us all down, look and watch for pedestrian better to be aware of who's there, to make it as safe as we can.
Yeah, I'm sure folks traveling around Prescott have seen that. That's a very busy intersection in the city, and I appreciate you keeping an eye on safety there. One last thing before we go to break. We just have about a minute left here before we go to break. But, Craig, let's jump over to water recharge. This is something that I'm always very interested in, and I know we had a good winter. What are we seeing in terms of recharge back into our aquifer?
We've had an amazing winter with moisture, and that has allowed us to still have the lakes very high. Watson Lake is still almost near full. We've not released any water out of it at all. Willow Lake is down about 2 feet below spill because we are releasing, going to recharge, and we're currently at 3,118 acre feet already for the year of recharge water. That's a combination of effluent and surface water.
Over 3,100 acre feet, and is about half of that from the lakes, or what's the breakdown between that and our effluent?
We're at about 1,600 is from surface water and about 1,500 from effluent.
So it's not quite 50-50, but in that ballpark. Well, it's always good to have that recharge from the winter, from the lakes, go to our recharge facility to replenish our aquifer. And this is going to be another banner year for that. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what you've been seeing at the transfer station and solid waste. I know they've been very busy out there, and you have some great programs for City of Prescott residents coming up here and throughout the year that you guys do a great job with bulk item pickup and some of those kinds of things. So when we come back, we'll talk to Craig Dotseth more about what's going on in solid waste. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Reprographics, we deliver great printing now, with same-day and next-day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Reprographics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. One of the things that's always impressed me about difficult times is how pets and animals raise people's spirits. They're non-judgmental and don't pay a bit of attention to social distancing. They love you whether you wear a mask or not, and always listen when you're pouring your heart out to them. That's why you should give them the best, and that's at Olson's. You can settle for good enough, or give your best friends the Olson's difference when buying their food, health supplies, toys, and treats. For the last 41 years, we've been feeding pets and animals with the philosophy of good enough just isn't. We offer in-store service, curbside, and delivery from all of our stores in Chino Prescott, Dewey Humboldt, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale. Experience us at our stores on Facebook, olsonsfamily.com, or olsonsgrain.com. Locals feeding locals pets and animals. That's us.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for tuning in as we wind down the hour here on Talk of the Town, talking with Craig Dotseth, our Public Works Director in the city of Prescott. So, Craig, a lot of good information out there for our listeners today, but I want to land on just solid waste. You guys do such a great job offering lots of added benefit for our residents here in Prescott. And you've got, well, let's do this. First, talk a little bit about some of those programs you guys do throughout the year, and then I know you've got something coming up here right away for our residents to take advantage of.
Yeah, some of the extra services that we provide, you know, versus where, you know, would not necessarily be provided, you know, with private service side. We do bulk item cleanup like we did early this spring, and it was a banner year. It was it exceeded anybody's expectations and or thoughts. Last year we did 263 tons. This year we did 577, so we did more than double the tonnage with that. Other special items or offerings that we have is Christmas tree cleanup, household hazardous waste collection, as well as then we've got the free brush coming up in June. And that will be on Saturdays throughout June for free brush dumping for city residents.
So you can take that out to the transfer station, Craig, any weekend in June?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's good for folks to know. I know there's a lot of damage to trees here this winter, and you probably saw some of that on the bulk item pickup. So I appreciate all that Solid Waste does to really offer a lot of benefit throughout the year for our residents, and want everybody to be aware of that brush opportunity here coming up in June, just right around the corner. Well, this is National Public Works Week. And I just want to say on behalf of the city of Prescott and the council, Craig, that we're so appreciative of everything that Public Works does to continue to keep our city running. You know, I've had the opportunity to ride with some different folks on a trash truck here not too long ago, and some other opportunities to spend time with your people. They do a tremendous job, very essential during this coronavirus time to have those folks doing what they do every day to deliver clean water and wastewater treatment and the trash hauling and all the things that are so important for our city to stay healthy and safe. So please send our thanks over to everybody in Public Works, and appreciate your leadership and all that you do to take care of all of our infrastructure here in the city of Prescott.
Thank you, Mayor. It's greatly appreciated. We have an excellent team.
Well, I appreciate all of our guests that were on today. It's been a great show. Want to encourage everyone to continue to stay healthy and stay safe. It's important, as I was talking to Leslie, just want to remind everyone to have a lot of grace for people out there. Everyone's doing the very best that they can during this coronavirus. Respect those that are wearing masks and respect those that are not wearing masks, and just be mindful that everyone is probably carrying some sort of load that you don't know about and may have a health condition you're not aware of. And so I just ask that everyone have a lot of patience and grace for those out there. That's all for our show today. I want to thank our guests again. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley, and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. I am Prescott Mayor Greg Mingarelli. So long for now.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Genesis Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Olson's for Healthy Animals, Cottonwood Area Transit, and Gettles High Desert Mechanical. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.